Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Revelation. Chapter 2. We're gonna read parts of this, okay? And so you follow along with me. Revelation 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I'll grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Let's go to verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and a new name written on the stone, which no one but he who receives it. Well, no one knows but he who receives it. Let's go to verse 26. And he who overcomes, and he who keeps my deeds unto the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he shall rule with them a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. And then chapter 3, verse 5. He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And then let's read verse 12. He overcomes, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. I'll write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. And the last one is verse 21. And he who overcomes, I'll grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, and I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Amen. So I told you yesterday I was going to do a little overview of the book of Revelation. And so this would be kind of the headings for each of the letters, right? I personally believe that this these two chapters are probably the most important chapters in the book of Revelation, because it speaks to the time that they're in now, but it also gives us insight into church history, but also gives us warnings into today, right now, what's happening around us, right? And so these are the seven churches. So it's a simple heading for each one, okay? The church in Ephesus was the danger of diminishing love. The danger of diminishing love. That was Ephesus. The church in Smyrna was a danger of fearing and suffering. The danger of fearing and suffering. The church at Pergamos was a danger of doctrinal compromise. The danger of doctrinal compromise. The church in Thyatira was a danger of moral compromise. Right, the danger of moral compromise. The church in Sardis is the danger of spiritual death. The danger of spiritual death. The church in Philadelphia was the danger of failing to advance. The danger of failing to advance. And the church in Laodicea is the danger of lukewarmness. Right, the danger of being lukewarm. And in all these passages, right, we see the revelation of Jesus laid out. We see the standing Christ, right, which epitomizes his readiness and his willingness, you know, to enter into our lives and in the lives of the corporate church, you know, to fellowship with us and to discipline us and to correct us, right? It's his readiness, right, his willingness. Also shows the picture of the knocking Christ, right? And this is the Christ who seeks after us unceasingly. He's always knocking on our hearts, right? He's always knocking on our doors. We also see the picture of the pleading Christ, and this is Christ who's, you know, continually speaking to us and wooing us into more intimate relationship with him. It's the penetrating Christ. You know, it's Jesus that if we do open the door, then He will penetrate our lives and He'll come in, you know, and He enters into our lives and brings fullness. You know, and then there's the companion Christ who enjoys sweet fellowship and communion with His church, you know, preparing and equipping us for His soon return. Right? I mean, there's a lot of other pictures, but these are, I kind of summarized these ones, right? The standing Christ, the knocking Christ, the pleading Christ, the penetrating Christ, and the companion Christ. Now, the gist of what I want to talk about today, which will lead into our prayer time or whatnot, is if you notice, especially the ones that we read, there was an overriding theme in all of these letters that were written. In other words, there was a specific message that Jesus wanted to give to the church. What was that message? It could be summed up in one word. Come on, you guys have been here for 2 weeks, right? Summed up in one word. What is He trying to tell the church in one word? Overcome, right? Overcome. You know, it's this continued word, and as a believer, you have to really grab a hold of this, right? Because see, what happens in the world, it's not necessarily that Christ just changes the world. You know what He does? He makes His people stronger. Right? That's the key. Right? You know, and we'd like to say, "Oh God, just come and do this and come and do that." You know, but remember, God has always desired to work in partnership with His church. Right? You know, I thought my professor said, this was actually Dr. Kraft who came here in January, but it was actually Martin Luther. And he said, you know, and the quote is so simple yet profound. He said, "With God we can't, but without us He won't." Right? With God we can. Without God we can't do anything. But without His church, without us, He won't. You know, and it's, you know, and God has always sought after partnership, right? And so when we talk about, you know, society issues, and we talk about things in this world, it would be so easy for God to just blot it out. But that's not the way God works. God works through human beings, works through human activity. He waits for human beings to come to a place of obedience and partnership so that whatever ills the world would be transformed through His people. I mean, that's in one way. That's why Jesus Christ became a man. He didn't have to be a man, but He became a man, not just to identify with us, but to prove, right, that God used men to fulfill His purposes, right? I mean, that's a very profound thought. You guys have to think about that for a little while. And so the word is overcome, overcome. You know, and I always look at it like this. And in my own personal life, you know, there's many times where I feel like there's obstacles in my way. You know what I mean? There are things in my path that I need to get past, you know, and it's a lot of different things. It could be sickness, or, you know, it could be people, you know, that are very troublesome. It could be, you know, different kind of situations. And for me, you know, your prayer mode is always, "God, remove this obstacle. Remove this path." And God's like, no. I'm not going to remove it. I'm going to give you strength to overcome it. You know, and it's like a picture, you know, and you know, you're carrying a huge weight, right? The better prayer is not, "Lord, remove this weight from me." The better prayer is, "Lord, give me a stronger back. Give me a stronger back." Right? This is a discipleship issue, right? This is a personal relationship with God issue. You know, I mean, is it easy for God to remove the weight? And sometimes He does, right? But see, the key is, right, He doesn't necessarily remove the weight. He asks us to give Him the weight. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Right? What He asks, right, He doesn't, you know, want us to just come and just remove the weight. He asks us to "God, will You take this off me?" And we give it to Him. You know, it's a transaction that's taking place. You know, but ultimately what we're asking for, and what Jesus is telling the church, He says, "Look, overcome. Suffering is going to continue to be there. Persecution is going to continue to be there. I'm going to make you stronger. My grace is sufficient for you. Right? For my power is perfected in weakness." Right, and we see this constant theme again. This word, right, is the Greek word Nikeo. This is where we get the word Nike from, right? You know your clothing brand. I'm wearing Adidas today, right? And so we all own some Nike something, right? They're the most popular sporting goods brand in the United States, right? Probably in the world, you know. And the word Nike actually comes from this word. You know, if you guys anyone know anyone named Nicholas or Nick, right? That's their word. It literally means an overcomer. The better translation actually is conqueror. And so in your translations, Romans 8, right, it says, you know, we are more, it says the word over, the Nikeo, it says we are more than conquerors, right? I mean, that's what my translation says, you know, and if you guys don't have a other one, it may say something a little different. It says, well, that's what this overcoming is, that we're conquering. You know, it's this vision of warfare and whatnot. And so here's a few things that he says, that if you overcome, if you will conquer, if you will not give up the fight, or if you will advance on and continue going forward, this is what you'll be promised. Number one, overcomers will eat of the tree of life. Right? You will eat of the tree of life. Those who overcome will inherit eternal life. We will live forever. Right? If you overcome. Number two, overcomers will not be hurt by the second death. Right? The second death is, you know, identified in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, as the lake of fire. We're talking about hell. Those who overcome, right, who will have their name in the book of life, are part of the first resurrection. The second death has no power over the righteous who are part of the first resurrection. Number three, overcomers will eat of the hidden manna. Now, what is the hidden manna? The hidden manna is Christ. Remember, he is the bread of life. Jesus, in all his fullness, will be manifested to those who overcome, and they will partake of all that he is and all that he has. That's what it means to partake of the hidden manna. That means that everything Jesus is, we become like him, right? This is actually a very common idea in world religions, right? You know, if you know, like people do sacrifices and they eat things and they believe that you take on the very form of what you eat. All right, so overcomers will eat of the hidden manna. Those who overcome will be given a new name. Now, this is actually a common Hebrew idiom. It's a common Hebrew expression. And what it means is that to write the name upon something, it means taking absolute possession of something. You know, you know, like in our Western, right? You write your name, you have a backpack, you write your name on your backpack, that means it's your backpack, right? You know, you write your name on your paper, that's your paper, right? That's your test or, you know, assignment or whatnot. It's the same idea, but in this Hebrew idiom, it meant that you took absolute possession of something. So when Christ writes his name on us, then it depicts Jesus taking full possession of us. Overcomers will be given power over the nations. Right, overcomers, we will sit with Christ, we'll reign with him, and we'll sit in judgment over the nations. Revelation 20, verse 4 tells us that. Overcomers will be clothed in white garments. Right, fine linen and all these different things. Right, John, remember in the book of Revelation, actually particularly chapter 7, verse 9, he saw the redeemed standing, you know, before the throne of God, clothed in white robes with palms in their hands. And this is a depiction of our life to come, right? We'll be in white garments, we'll be totally free, and there'll be no sin that captivates us. Overcomers will be a pillar in the temple of the New Jerusalem. Right, we know that there's a New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, and a pillar is something that's permanent. Right, and so Christ's promise to us is that he who overcomes, he'll give us a permanent place in the New Jerusalem. Right, absolutely nothing will be able to remove them from their place in this heavenly Jerusalem. Overcomers will sit with Christ on his throne. Right? We will sit with Christ and we'll reign with him forever. And this is not part of the thing, but this is actually in Revelation 21. I just looked up all the overcomer ones. Overcomers will inherit all things. Right? Revelation 21:7 says, "He that overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son." This is basically a summation of all the promises of those who overcome, of all the blessings that God will bestow. Right? It's basically, this picture in Revelation 21 is like a son taking possession of his inheritance. And those who overcome will take possession of all the Heavenly Father has prepared for them. Right? This is the message. Now notice, right, that Jesus is saying, okay, there's stuff going on right now, but I want you to overcome because there's an eternal reward coming. Right? This is where faith takes place. Right? This is the faith element in our lives, right? We are fighting and struggling and conquering, and we're doing all these things in the here and now because there's a future reward laid up for us. Right? There's something that God has laid out for us in the future, and it is so much more glorious than whatever we're doing in the past. That's why, you know, Paul, and Paul is very aware of this understanding. Remember what Paul says? He says, that is but momentary light affliction. Remember when he was talking about, like, I was, you know, almost sawn in two, I was shipwrecked, I was, you know, twice beaten down to my life, naked, wretched, you know, he goes through this whole list, and he sums it all, and this is what he says. He says, it was momentary light affliction. It's like, you know, he's stoned to death almost, and he's saying, it's like a mosquito bite. I mean, that's, you know, it's momentary. It's just troublesome for such a short time. And that's it. Compared to the glory, right? He's talking about this future that's out there compared to the glory that awaits him. He says all this stuff, you know, shipwrecked, beaten, lied to, hit upon, you know, just tortured, all this stuff. It's momentary light affliction. You know why Paul could say something like that? Paul could say that because he didn't live for this life, he lived for the next one. You know, and you know, the book of Revelation, especially these letters, that is precisely the message. He's, you know, Jesus saying, yes, a lot of stuff is going on, but don't live for this life. Live for the next one. Store up your treasures not here on earth, where moth, rust, you know, and you know, all kinds of things destroy. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, which lasts forever. Right? I mean, this is the message what he's saying. And so going through the Gospels, right, we're to overcome and conquer the world. Why? Jesus, isn't that what he said? He said, you know, in the world you have tribulation. He says, but fear not, I have overcome the world. We're able to overcome because Jesus overcame in our behalf. Right? We're called to overcome and conquer sin. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. In other words, sin will not conquer you. We're called to overcome and conquer the devil. 1 John 4:4. It says, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, right? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we're able to overcome. 1 John 5:4-5. Christ is overcome by his spirit living within us. And we're able to do the same. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who that believes in Jesus is the Son of God? You can overcome the world because you believe in Jesus. Right? It's a simple message, you know, for all of us. But it's the message of, you know, that rings true in our hearts. God wants you to be an overcomer. Right, God wants you to be a fighter. He wants you to engage in the fight, first of all, right? But he's called you to win that fight. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Right? He says, little children, fear not. I've overcome the world. In this world, you'll have tribulation. Things will happen. But Jesus says, I've already overcome on your behalf. And so you just come and follow me. All right, so let's close our eyes today. Is there a fight? That you're supposed to be engaged in right now, but you're not fighting? Is there a battle? Or is there some area in your life that you're having difficulty or trouble in? The word of the Lord is to overcome. Be an overcomer. And let the Holy Spirit speak to us today as Pastor Nate leads us in a song of worship. Don't ask God to remove obstacles. Ask God to make you stronger. To remove situations and whatnot. I mean, you can plead for mercy. But ultimately, see, God, make me stronger. Lord, don't remove the burden, God. Give me a stronger back. That's become one of my most favorite prayers these days. Lord, help me learn some things through all this. Make me stronger. Nikeo.
Oh, together in eternity, forever in eternity.
Let's pray for our community around us and our church and your family and your workplace, and especially to the believers around you. Let's pray for a real spirit to overcome. No matter what's going on in our lives around us, let's pray for the strength. Let's ask God to give us stronger backs. Let's ask God to really allow us to grab a hold of the message to be overcomers, that we live not for this world, but for the next one. That we place all of our stock and all of our future in the next life and not this one here. And let's pray that we would be eternity focused and minded. And let's cover our church and just our family and people around us in that way. Let's pray for our church and our building search and our building fund. Let's pray in that same spirit of overcoming. Let's pray that our church people would overcome whatever obstacles they have for not giving. Let the Lord overcome in our lives, that we move in generosity. Let's pray that we would overcome our space issues, you know, and whatever obstacles are in our way in terms of the government and, you know, real estate prices and all these things. Let's pray for a real spirit to overcome all these obstacles, that God would make His way with us. Let's just pray. Let's pray for our weekend with the Lord this week, for all our services. Let's pray for tonight, McCain House Church, as they meet. Let's pray for God's favor and blessing over them and the choice as they lead House Church. Let's pray tomorrow, our board of directors are having a quick meeting, and we're opening up our bank account tomorrow. Let's pray for a fruitful time, and that there'll be no obstacles in that. Let's pray for our youth group that night and for intercessory prayer in the afternoon. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon us, and as you know, the people pray and as the youth would gather. Let's pray for our two Sunday services and for Noah's Ark, and the Lord would just come with such power. It's Father's Day, and so I'll be bringing a Father's Day message, and let's pray for the Lord would just be glorified in our service. We also have a steering committee meeting in the afternoon, and let's pray for the hand of the Lord to be upon us as we meet and strategize. Let's lift up our women's ministry that's meeting that evening as well. Pray for a real fruitful time as women as they gather together. And then Monday, let's pray for a Cascade, our inner healing ministry, that the Lord will just use our brothers and sisters to bring healing to other brothers and sisters. So lift up this very packed weekend to God and ask for His hand to be upon us. I forgot, we're also having a barbecue on Saturday. Just pray for a fruitful time as well. Let's pray for our members of our community that are really having to overcome in their life, especially in the area of sickness. Let's continue to pray for James's sister, Helen, and she battles through breast cancer. Let's pray for the Chungs, for John's dad in Texas, as he's battling through as well. Let's pray for Paul's uncle. He's getting better and better as he goes through things. Yuli's dad, who had a little stroke, and pray for full recovery for him. Pray for little boy Diego as he continues to recover, and he's also doing quite well. He's getting better every day. And our brother, whose mom is also going through cancer, let's just ask God's hand to be upon us and just really lead us and guide us. And pray for all these families that they would really gather together and they would overcome, that the healing word would come over their lives. Let's lift up. And our mission focus, let's pray for the India and Bhutan team. Let's pray that as God would just call these men and women to go and to work and whatnot. And, you know, Bhutan is one of the most closed countries in the world. And let's pray that as they build this seminary dorm for the Bhutanese, that God would really use this place. And And just the favor of the Lord would just be extended from this training center. And so let's pray for the team that will be going in early August, and pray for protection and covering, and just real grace to follow this team. Father, we thank you, God. We bless you today, Lord, and we thank you for just the awesome weekend that we're going to have individually and as a church. We ask you to watch over all of our activities, God, and help us to be so singularly focused on bringing Jesus Christ all the glory in all that we do, God. And so thank you, Lord. Watch over us, Lord. Let the grace of God, Lord, continue to be extended into our lives, Lord, and give us the strength to overcome whatever obstacles may be in our way, in our path, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. You know, say a little prayer for the Lakers this morning if you're able to.